up, everybody? Welcome to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets, where we take our concerns and questions about Christianity and figure out how to kick them in the teeth. I'm Victor Sassano, your host. Here we go.
So welcome, everybody. Welcome back to Lightning Bolts and Leather Jackets. We are here with a very special guest. We've got an interview today with Dr. Patty Zadala. Did I say that right?
You sure did.
Okay, awesome. And she is the host of the Experience Jesus podcast. And I've listened to several episodes, and her work is phenomenal. She's also an accomplished author and professor, and we're going to turn it over to her in just a minute. So, Patty, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Before I was an author, I was an organization development consultant for a lot of years, and so my job was to help people move toward God's plan by experiencing things together. So I did a lot of strategic planning and team development. And I guess the Lord likes to use that gifting in me for my ministry, because my whole discipleship ministry is related to helping people experience Jesus and realize how easy it is to allow him to guide your life one day at a time. So that's sort of my story. I'm a professor at Christian Leadership University, and I teach people how to make sure they're tuned to the flow of the Holy Spirit and allowing him to guide their lives. And then I've written, I guess, 8 books now, all that include media. So it's all about helping people understand that God's language is pictures and emotions and music and creative ideas, and He doesn't live in the head, he lives in the heart. So the more I can teach people how to connect with God in those creative ways, the easier it is for you to surrender your life to him and walk with him one day at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah, God is the original, like we call him the creator, but he's also the original, like, creative being. You know, he's the author, he's the musician, he's the... you know, the potter, right, and all these things. And people sometimes, you know, tend to forget that, even though it's very important. It makes up a lot of who God is, you know, which
right.
is impressive since he's infinite. I was going to ask you before, did you grow up in the faith?
I grew up in the Catholic Church. I actually got saved, though, in college. And I really... it was kind of a slow and steady growth for me for many, many years until I really learned how to experience Jesus, and then it was more catapulting. So I'd say for the last maybe 18 years of my life, I have been on a steady catapulting incline with the Lord, and I've been an author now for about 10 years. But I didn't really know how to really surrender him, like we're going to talk about today, related to your Christ identity, until I got to my doctorate. And then I realized, wow, that's how easy it is. It's insane. So,
yeah, start us in on that. Talk about this Christ identity that you were talking about in a couple of your episodes and in this outline that we were looking at about what you want to talk about on the show.
Yeah, so your Christ identity is the best version of yourself. So when Jesus died on the cross, in every Old Testament context, people could not come near God. You know, like the priests and the prophets would hear from God clearly, but the people could not come near him because of our sinful nature and the fallen nature of our, you know, just the fallen nature.
Right, that was the whole reason for the temple and the curtain and everything else, yeah.
Exactly, the ripping of the, right. So when Jesus died on the cross and the curtain ripped from top to bottom when he took his last breath, that signified direct access. He purchased for us direct access. And his perfection is how Jesus sees us. So Jesus sees you already, if you're a believer, as your Christ identity. That is the Christ you unified, perfected you. And God created everybody very uniquely, but Christ improves you little by little as you catch up to that identity. And so the goal of the Christian identity is to begin to see through the Word of God and through experience with Him who you really are, having been adopted into Christ's family and covered by His perfection. And so the goal of the Christian life is to align yourself to transform you one day at a time toward your Christ identity. And Jeremiah 29:11, for example, says, "For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future." What he's saying there is, the plans that I have for you, he says, not the plans that you have for you or the plans that you have for him. It's not about what you want to do.
Yeah, we do have a lot of plans for God.
Him.
That's true.
We do things for him. And what he's saying here is that there is a plan that he has that involves being with him, right? And it's his plan. So it starts from him. And so the ideal is for you to, first of all, catch up. I did an entire book. It's going to be released in 22, but it's called Encountering the Direction of God. It's the third book in the Experience Jesus series. And one of the things I learned researching for that book is that people think that their calling is what they do. And God made it very clear, it isn't what you do, it is who you become. And the doing is a side effect. It's a side
right,
effect.
Build out of who you are.
Exactly. And the side effect is the alignment where he starts to prepare you and make it clear who you're supposed to serve, and he highlights for you your giftings, and you begin to know who you are, and then he says, okay, now you're ready, and he starts opening wide the doors of your destiny and your calling, and you can become who he created you to be. So that's the Christ identity.
I love that. That's something that the Holy Spirit has been really talking with me about for a couple of years now. Is I'm so focused on doing this or doing that, you know, and those things are important, but they don't define who I am. What I should be defined, who I am should define what I do. And that's something that I've been continually banging my head against, you know, against the wall, you know, until the Holy Spirit helps me. Helps me get, you know, piece by piece, little by little, you know, further along that
right.
journey.
And it is a process and it is a journey. And in our Western culture, we're all about the destination and getting things done, right? And he's all about the journey. Like he wants to see, you know, he wants to see you transform. And so that's what he cares about. You know, like I have students that like want to get through their degree as soon as possible. It's so funny because I was like that too. Like you start your program and you're like, all right, I'm going to get this done and blah, 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 time. And the bottom line is he doesn't want you to rush through it. He wants you to take the time and savor it because it's the learning process that's really the blessing in it. And so I'm constantly telling the students, okay, yeah, just slow down, slow down. And I was like that too, so I understand it, you know, but you really miss the blessings when you rush, right? And just want to spend time with the Lord.
Yeah, and he wants to spend time with us. It's the whole point of relationship is spending time, you know,
right.
with the lover of our souls. And that's,
you
know, as you spend more time with God, then the more you'll be more like him and more like who he made you to be. And then you get all the doing stuff done, you know, as, like you said, a side effect.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of, like, I mean, the world in and of itself has an identity crisis and has really from the beginning of the fall, you know, but even Christians now, especially, I think, like you said, Western Christians of the Western world, they find their identity in all the stuff that they can do and all the stuff that they can do for God or all the stuff that God can or they think should do for them, you know, and it becomes right. this kind of identity crisis thing where you either burn yourself out, you know, and I've seen this growing up in the churches, a lot of people serve too much, too fast, mm-hmm. or at the very least, right. when they serve, they don't serve from the right intention, you know, and you can mm-hmm. start, I mean, you should serve in church regardless, but your attitude should be to reflect, you know, the King. And if you serve just for yourself, then you end up getting burnt out
right.
and lose your identity in those kinds of things. And that can be very dangerous, especially when that is not where God is supposed to, or that's not where your identity is supposed to be. Your identity and your purpose is supposed to come from the Lord.
Right. Yeah. And that actually is, the reason for burnout in the church, by the way, is that exact thing you're talking about. Because people are working for God without His anointing. He doesn't, you know how there are some people that are martyrs in the church and they do everything. You know, they're going to like, they want, in their own pride, they want to feel like they're indispensable. And the bottom line is that not every assignment is yours. And what we want to do, and that's what the Jeremiah 29:11 plans remind me of, is that we only want to do what God puts on our plate to do. And because we know that if it's on our plate, I like to call this order my day, right? Like I need the Lord to tell me what He wants me to do, because then I know the anointing will be there for it. So if He says, today's the day you do a podcast, I do a podcast. But if He says, no, or today's the day you grade a student. But if He says, nah, I know that you have a student that's waiting for a grade, but this isn't the day to do it, then it's not going to be worth anything when you give her feedback. So I just need to do that. But I wanted to pick up on something else that you said earlier as well. I wanted to talk a little bit about the wineskin today, right? And why I think mm-hmm. most people don't know how to do this. They don't know how to align themselves with their Christ identity. And part of the reason is that they're not really teaching this in the pulpit. They're not really teaching people that they're free. And so the bottom line is that one of the things the Lord accomplished for you, He said, I came to set you free. I came to set you free. And the law of the Old Testament was a bondage. And it was only given so people could understand they needed Jesus. You know, they needed God because they could not meet the weight of the law. And apart from God, you can't be perfect, right? You can't be perfect even with mm-hmm. Him, because we're still human. But anyway, so what I wanted to do is talk a little bit about the whole wineskin, because the scripture about wineskin says you can't put
new wine in old wineskin.
And actually, in a second here, I'm going to share something Jesus actually said about that. Like, it's His words teaching us on it. But before I do that, I just wanted to share that in Romans 7, we all know the verses where Paul is talking about, I try to do the thing right. I try to do the right thing, and I can't do the right thing, and I struggle, and I all this stuff, and I am the chief of sin.
Wretched man that I am.
Right? In Romans 7, he's talking about the old wineskin. That's what that's about. It's about your sin nature and allowing yourself to. What you're basically doing is agreeing or cooperating with your sinful nature when you try to strive and do things apart from God, and you try and try and try, but you can't, because in your own flesh you can't, right? But
yeah.
People forget that Romans 8 is about, I mean, he goes from I'm the chief of sinners straight into Romans 8, which says, thank God for the life in the Spirit of Christ Jesus. This is the new wineskin. At the point of salvation, the Lord gives us the Holy Spirit, and He says, you have the power within you of the fullness of God. The omni
freed you from the power of sin that leads to death.
In your heart, which brings with it the power to overcome anything mm-hmm. that you need to do, and the power. And the second part of Romans 8 just takes you to the what, why is that a big deal? Why do we need that? And the second half talks about your glorious destinies. Talks about your glory. He created us. It takes us back to Jeremiah 29:11 again. It's like he's saying in Romans 7, you were stuck, but Jesus died on the cross so that you could be free and you don't have to stay stuck. You have within you the power to access and align yourself with my truth, because the sinful nature is not the truth anymore. You have the power within you to, and he talks about the glorious destiny for people who figure that out, right? So, when I was, at Jesus 18, the Lord, which is a conference, there were 13 or 14 people. I have an episode called, on my website or on my podcast called, this something like The Secrets of High Fruit Bearing Christians. And the Lord asked me to identify what all those 13 people had in common. And he gave me 9 things and then spoke to me, and he gave me a journal. He actually gave me a journal message, which is what I'm going to read to you for one of them, which is about the wineskin. And the wineskin, he said, inside the ancient wineskin could not be seen. The inside of an ancient wineskin, you couldn't see it. It's on the inside. And he said, and what happens is wine leaves behind fermented residue as it ages. And he said, you know how wine, after a bottle's been open for a few days, it begins to turn sour after it's been open for a few days? And then he said, it's because it's beginning to break down and rot. So new wine cannot be poured into an old wineskin without the rotting cells quickly making the new wine rotten. The molecules expand and they burst the old wineskin. So he said, the new wineskin represents the new man, pure, new, untamed, pure and untainted. And he says, the new wine is the truth of my presence, the grace and power that comes with my salvation, the Holy Spirit in fullness. When a person understands their identity in Christ, they will agree and learn how to agree with me about who they are. And that person is free to exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit without the barriers or hindrances of the old sin nature. Their life
the lack of confidence or the fear that they're doing something outside of God's will. Because when you're operating in the Spirit, you know who you are in Christ. If it's outside of the will of God, you'll clearly hear him instead of just second guessing yourself 39 times.
Yes. Exactly right. Exactly right. So he's really trying to say it's so important for people to understand who they really are and to allow him. I can't tell you how many times, Victor, where I would see him talk like that. Okay, so what we do in our university, we learn how to hear him like this so we can capture, and I'm gonna if we have time, I'll share how to do that really quickly. But
my you mentioned trailer before, episode, the fourth step to journaling. Right?
Yeah, my trailer episode will give you the whole shebang on that if people want to visit that, but I'll go over it briefly. But anyway, what we do is we teach people how to hear him like that so he can guide us in everything and explain scripture and speak into our life about things. And that's what I'm really measuring as a professor is, are you hearing him accurately? Are you hearing him clearly? What I wanted to say is that the secret is fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's what the secret is. Because what you fix your eyes on grows within you. And if you fix your eyes on your problems or natural limitations, they grow within you. This is actually a quantum physics truth called the observer effect, which is a bunny trail I don't have time to go down. But I'll do an episode of my podcast in the future about the creator where we explain how that works. But the word says, many times, actually, fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on him. Mm-hmm. And when you gaze at him, he gazes back. And wherever his eyes are fixed, his favor flows. And that's where the transformation happens. right? So what people in Romans 7 thinking are doing, they're gazing, which is a long look, at their problems and glancing at a tiny God, right? They make him tiny and small. And what he's saying he wants us to do is gaze at him. And as you gaze at him and his favor flows or his eyes are fixed, it minimizes your problem. It gives you his perspective on the problem. He shows you your problem is your perspective. Yeah.
You could do that with yourself too, because so many people, especially Christians that are more maybe like me and are like extra hard on themselves, you know, when they fail, they don't necessarily look at Jesus. All they do is look at the wretched man that they are, you know, and instead, and that only increases the problem, because all you're doing is looking at yourself and that you don't have it together without also looking at Jesus and what he's got for you.
Right. Exactly.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening. This is actually part one of this interview. Part two is going to come 2 weeks from now, the same day, Tuesday. We just had such a good time interviewing Patty that we wanted to make sure we gave her enough time to speak, and so we wanted to split this interview into two, so we'll see you guys in two Tuesdays.
Until then, this is Victor Sassano encouraging you to be a bolt of fresh air.